Please do keep those Bible passages open in front of you. Always good to check that what the preacher's saying comes from God's word, which has authority, rather than his own mind. Let me pray. Loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us here in the book of Ruth. And as we look at it together, we ask that you would help us to know you better. Amen. Now, if you are a single lady in church and you're looking for some Christian dating advice on how to find a husband in a godly way, please feel free to completely ignore the book of Ruth. I've heard it used as dating advice. It's terrible. I'm not saying that Ruth isn't a wonderful book. It absolutely is. And Ruth is one of the most wonderful characters in the whole of Scripture. In fact, in the Hebrew Bible, the Jewish Bible, just the Old Testament part, when it was put together, the book of Ruth comes after the book of Proverbs, not the book of Judges as we have it. So what you do is you read through the Proverbs of wisdom and you get to the very end and it says, you know, a wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than rubies, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Turn over the page, Ruth. And we think, oh yes, this is it, the perfect example. And Ruth is that woman of noble character. Boaz says it himself in verse 11 of our passage today. He says, all the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. It's a great book. You see what a godly woman really looks like. But it is not a book about dating. Look at it as we read through verse 3. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Well, it's not bad advice, to be fair. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. When my daughters reach dating age, this is not the advice I'm going to be giving them. I'm not going to say, right, go and have a shower and a good wash so you're nice and clean. Put on your Chanel number 5. Wait until the bloke you fancy has been at a bit of a party, but don't actually speak to him during the party and hide from him. And then when he's well fed and had a few bevvies, go and sneak into his bedroom and lie down at the end of his bed. No! This is bad dating advice. Don't follow it. But just as this is not a book of dating advice, it's also not a story of romance. It's not a love story. It sort of is a story, but not a romance love story, and we'll come to that later. But what is it? What is the book of Ruth at its core? Ruth is a story about finding a home, finding true rest in a home. For those of us who have small children who are constantly reading the Julia Donaldson books, this is far more like reading Stickman, who has to find his way back to the family tree, than it is about the Titanic film with Rose and Jack and the big romance, because it's a story about finding a home. It says so in verse 1. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you, where you will be well provided for." And it echoes what Naomi said to both her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, back in the first chapter in verse 9, where he said, "May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." And home is more than a place, isn't it? It's more than bricks and mortar, and we know that. It's a place of safety. Home is a place of comfort and of rest, of security, of love, and of enjoying life. To be home carries the sense of wholeness and peace. I'm home at last. For the people of Ruth's day, though, to have a home meant a few things were essential, particularly if you were a woman. You needed a husband to provide shelter and food and safety and that sense of home. But not only that, you needed sons to provide for you when your husband was gone. That's just the reality of the world of that time. Today, we don't really look to husbands or sons to provide, particularly those of us who are male. But what we all do is we look to things of this world to provide security for us, to provide rest, and to provide peace. That's the significance of the story of Ruth, particularly in chapter 3 for us today. It's not dating advice, it's not romance, but it's about finding a true home and true rest. How does Ruth go about finding it, and how can that help us today find our true home? In a nutshell, I want us to see that we need faith that takes a risk. In Ruth's day, God's law provided a way for people like Naomi and like Ruth to be looked after. The tension, though, of this story is, will Ruth trust in God's way to find that home, or will she take matters into her own hands? That's the tension of this story. And you know, it's deliberately ambiguous in the way that it's written. From verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. It's deliberately a sexually suggestive bit of writing. It's designed to make us wonder. It's not obvious, but we suspect what might happen. I mean, look at it objectively. There's been some drinking. Doesn't say he was drunk, but does say there's been some drinking going on. It's at night. It's away from home. She uncovers his feet, which seems very, very odd until you realize that it's a euphemism. It's euphemistic. It's like saying she uncovered his lower appendage. And you think, well, does that mean his feet or his... We're supposed to read that and think, oh, crikey, what on earth is going on here? Remember, this is the time of the judges when men and women did not behave with the propriety expected of God's people. And more than that, you've got the whole history of God's people, and it was spotted history at best. One story that's fairly close to this, when you read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? We all know the story. But the bit we tend to finish with is when Lot and his family are running out of the city, and Lot's wife turns back, and she turns to a pillar of salt, right? And we normally finish the story there, don't we? But the story doesn't finish there, it goes on. You can read it in Genesis 19, and it's absolutely horrifying what happens next. Lot ends up living in a cave in the wilderness with his two daughters, and his wife's now dead. And the daughters are worried for their future, in much the same way that Ruth and Naomi are worried for their future with no husband and no sons. Their father is getting older. They know he won't live forever. And with no husband, their guys they were betrothed to are back in Sodom and dead, and no men around, they have no chance of having sons. And so they do the absolutely unthinkable. They get their father crazy blind drunk. They sneak into the cave where he's sleeping at night and get pregnant by him. They each have a son by him. And do you know what the name of the oldest of the two is? Moab. The father of the Moabites. And here we are, reading a story about Ruth, the Moabite, sneaking into the place where a guy is sleeping at night who's been drinking, and we're supposed to be going, what the heck? They're still doing it. We're biting our nails. Is Ruth going to take the matter into her own hands? And the tension of the whole story is broken. We get the answer when Boaz wakes up in verse 8. And it's not what Boaz does and says, but what Ruth does and says that breaks the tension. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. Who are you? He asked. I am your servant, Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. And you kind of got to understand the context, the culture, to see the reference. The first part of what she says is, spread the corner of your garment over me. And it's a symbol. And the corner of the garment is the same word as the word wing. It's the exact same phrase, actually, that came in the last chapter. So when you look back in chapter 2, verse 12, it's the exact same thing she's talking about, where Boaz says to her, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Ruth is asking Boaz to do for her what God does for her, to provide for her, to give her refuge. How and why should Boaz do that? Well, that's the second part of what she says. "Since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." The job of a guardian redeemer is to marry the wife of a dead relative and to give her a son. And that son would not be legally his son. It would be considered the son of his dead relative, to carry on his family name, to inherit his land. And more importantly, relevantly for the book of Ruth, that legal son would provide a future for all that man's relatives, for his widow, for his daughters. It would secure life for them. And that might seem weird to us in our culture, but this was an incredibly noble thing to do, a generous thing to do, and a loving thing to do. It was hugely expensive for the man doing it, hugely costly emotionally and financially. But more importantly, it was a godly thing to do, because this was God's way of providing for those who could not provide for themselves. This was God's provision. So in the midst of this tension, where we're wondering, is Ruth going to go God's way, or is she going to take matters into her own hand? The answer comes with this wave of relief. Ruth is going God's way. And what she's proposing that night on the grain floor is not a roll around on the pile of grain to produce a baby to secure a future, but is a proposal of marriage to redeem not only Ruth, but to redeem Naomi and the whole of Elimelech's line. The whole family restoration according to God's pattern, God's provision, and God's promises. And that's why Boaz says what he does in verse 10. He says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." And again, we can misread this. Boaz is not saying, "Oh, Ruth, you absolute sweetheart, look at you being nice to an old codger like me and blessing me with your youth and with your beauty." That's not it at all. That's not the kindness he's talking about at all. He's not talking about kindness to himself. He's talking about the kindness to Naomi. Ruth could sort herself out. She could marry a younger man if she wanted to. She's young, she's strong, she's hardworking. She's clearly got a great character. But she's choosing God's path. And she's taking a risk in doing so, because that risk was secures Naomi's future as well as the future of her whole family. That's why this is a love story, but not a romantic love story between Boaz and Ruth. This is a story of the love between Ruth and Naomi. A story of covenantal love, of steadfast love, of love that reflects the love that God has for his people, a love that sacrifices the self to provide for others. And it was an enormous risk for Ruth. She's a young woman. She's a foreigner in the country with no family to protest if she's ill-treated or abused. She's at night, away from home, around men who are possibly drunk, on the edge of a guy's bed. But she's doing all of this to claim the rest and the home of God's provision. To trust his ways and not her own strengths. The easier method for Ruth, as Boaz points out, would to be to secure the future for herself. She could go and find a young man a young man whom she loves, or a young man who has plenty of money, and she would be sorted out. She'd have a home, she'd have a son, she'd have a future. She could earn that home and that rest for herself. But instead, she risks all of that to take a leap of faith, to say no to doing it her own way, and yes to doing it God's way, to pursue the man who could redeem not only her, but her mother-in-law and her whole family line. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need the same kind of faith as Ruth to find our true home. Because we need a faith that takes a risk. A risk that says no to the ways of the world and yes to the ways of Jesus. The world is filled with easier options to find a degree of rest or some of the comfort of a home. It is easier to seek rest in how we spend our time, our leisure activities, our lush holidays, going out, experiencing different experiences in the world. It's easy to seek a home by finding four walls that are nicely decorated, that have nice neighbours and a pretty garden. It is easier to seek security in a bank balance or a pension pot or medical insurance. It is easy to seek comfort in the arms of a lover who makes us feel wanted and adored. But to pursue the Lord is to find, at the end of it, a true rest and a true home that makes all of those things pale into insignificance. But it does mean taking a risk with those other things. It means risking how we use our time, our money, our security. And if we end up like our mission partners like Lydia, even our safety going abroad. We set them aside to pursue Jesus instead. And that can mean saying no to things like the relationship with a guy that wants to seek to pull us away from Christ. It means giving up our weekends and our evenings to serve in church. I remember when my older brother became a Christian. I thought he was nuts. He made a lot of money in dentistry. He had a posh house and a nice car. He had a really respected position doing oral surgery at the hospital. He was in charge of postgraduate training for new dentists. But rather than seeking rest and the home comforts in his wealth and reputation and property, he was giving his money away, he was giving his time away, he was giving his energy, as I saw it. I didn't understand, I saw it to the church, but it was to Jesus. And that just seemed crazy because he was risking all these things he had. For what? Because he was seeking a true rest and a true home that would last forever in a right relationship with the God who had made him by having faith in the Redeemer he'd provided. The great thing about faith like this, about faith like Ruth's, about faith that takes that risk, is that it is faith that finds a reward. Ruth took the risk and sought refuge under God's wing by trusting his provision and seeking refuge under Boaz's wing in marriage, seeking the Redeemer provided by the Lord. And Boaz doesn't let her down, does he? Verse 11, "And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all you ask." The first thing Boaz does is he reassures her that the future hope, the future home, the future rest that she is longing for will be provided by him, the Redeemer. There is a brief interlude in the story, a fly in the ointment, a hurdle to be overcome, which is that there's another potential guardian Redeemer who is a little bit closer in relationship. We're not going to worry about that now because chapter 4 we'll do next week. We'll cover that in much more detail. But for now, what we want to see is that the future hope is being provided for. And we're given this small picture. It's why the barley in there? Why is the barley there? It's a small picture of what Boaz is doing and what God is doing. In verse 15, he also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, she poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. And we're supposed to see the fullness and the filling up here. Ruth doesn't miss it when she relays to Naomi in verse 17. She says, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" You see, the home, the sense of home and rest that we're coming to is a sense of fullness and wholeness and peace. At the beginning of the book, at least according to Naomi herself, she was full. That's what she said, wasn't it? "I went away full, but upon her return, she declares herself to be empty, Mara, bitter. I have nothing." But in coming to God's Redeemer, she's no longer empty. The barley is just a small picture of the assurances Boaz is going to provide, of God's great promise to fill us up. She has absolute confidence in it. She says at the end of the chapter, "For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Ruth has a faith that takes a risk of doing things God's way and closing down the other avenues. But it proves to be a faith that finds a reward because her faith is in the Redeemer, in God's Redeemer. And when we have faith like that, faith that takes a risk and trusts in Jesus rather than the world's way of comfort, it will prove to be every time faith that finds a reward in Christ as our Redeemer, saving us not simply from hunger, but saving us from death to life. And just as Boaz would not let her down, so Jesus will not let you down. Last term in Galatians, we read in chapter 4, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Just as Ruth is brought into, back into the family of God by her Redeemer, we are brought into the family of God, adopted as sons by our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Peter says, he says, "We have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our ancestors and bought with the precious blood of Christ." Jesus fills our emptiness with love shown to us on the cross as the price is paid to redeem us, to restore us into the community of God's people, into a restored relationship with the God we were made to be in relationship with. And that restored relationship, that meant to be, is our true home. That is our true rest, our peace, our security, and our joy. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 11, when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find" what? "Rest for your souls." Just like Ruth, where home and rest are provided through a marriage to God's Redeemer, so too, our home and rest is provided through marriage to God's Redeemer. Jesus has come to pay the price to redeem his bride, the church, to find true rest and home. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant bride. Those of us who have faith in Jesus and are willing to hold lightly to the things of this world, but to cling tightly to the things of Christ, will find a forever home with him in glory. We're not quite there yet today, but just like Ruth, who has every confidence that Boaz will see it done, that they will be married, and that she and Naomi will be redeemed and Elimelech's name restored, we have confidence because Jesus has already seen it done on the cross. We're only now waiting for the wedding day when he returns. Let's pray. Loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us in the book of Ruth, for the amazing reassurance that putting our faith in Christ, a faith that feels like it takes a risk with the things of this world, is a faith that will find a reward in him, a true home and a true rest in your house, in your family, and a peace that will last for all eternity. Amen.